Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you were here joining with me today for a nice hot cup of something good. That is good. It's my second sip of the day, so hopefully my voice and throat will feel better and better each sip, and I hope the same happens for you. Well, today is Tuesday, the 14th of November, 2023. We are halfway through this month. Goodness. And I hope that you're enjoying this nice weather. We have been continuing to be frantically trying to continue with outdoor projects because it is a lot easier when it's 60 degrees during the day rather than 30 degrees during the day. So we our latest additions on the farm have started happening the past I'd say 36 hours. We were moving some old hay bales a few weeks ago, and they were from the previous year. They need to be just moved, so we put them in some back pasture areas where the goats can choose to eat or not choose to eat. You know, that's up to them. Not going to worry about it. Out of sight, out of mind. But what we uncovered was a bunch of duck eggs. We found three different nests of our wandering around ducks. So we picked out the ones that looked the healthiest and put them in an incubator. And the incubator was full. I'm not sure how many, because duck eggs are bigger than chicken eggs, so you can't get quite as many in. But we have reached, yesterday we reached hatching day, and sometimes they hatch a little bit early, sometimes a little bit late, but over the course of it, we would candle the eggs, and if we saw development, we kept them. If there was no development, we discarded them as bad eggs. Came down to four eggs. And as of last night, two had hatched from a duck named Molly. And we know that because it's hers, because she is the only one that has green eggs. So let me take a look in here in the incubator. And I'm not seeing anything with the two remaining eggs, but we've got our two little duckies. One is all yellow, so it's going to be a white duck. And the other one is mostly dark and has a little bit of yellow on its wing and under its neck. But they are just sitting in here, just nice and cute, and snuggled up to each other. They're two buddies. Now, we're going into winter, trying to figure out what do we do with baby ducks in the winter. So we're working out our plan, but that's the newest arrivals out here on the farm. And it is always fun, whether it's baby chicks, baby ducks, baby goats. We still have our little pigs. We didn't get them as babies, but they are growing, and it's just fun. But today I wanted to talk a little bit from a nostalgic point of view. This weekend starts shotgun deer hunting, which has been a favorite activity of mine for many years now. And it has changed. It has definitely changed over the years. Not so much with, I mean, I still shoot with the same gun that I have for many years, and go to same deer stands or close to the same deer stands. Still don't get one most years, which is consistent. Unlike my cousin Don, who always seemed to fill every tag all the time. So I just have to rub that in on occasion. But Let me tell you a little backstory first. I remember as a kid, if you saw a deer around the farm, it was a rarity. It was sometime in, I believe it was in the late 1960s, that there were three pair of deer that were released just a half a mile north of our, not even a half a mile north of our farm, along a creek. And these deer started the population here, the restarted. The deer had been wiped out for the most part in the either 1800s or early 1900s just by people hunting for food. And the deer population was wiped out. So they introduced them. And I remember in the 1970s how excited my grandpa would get if he saw a deer or he saw the herd, as they would refer to them, because they were still somewhat small in number and they would travel together, but they, you know, would stay in the area. I remember him being so excited and talking about a large buck that was just south of the kitchen door of the old farmhouse onto the neighbor's property. There was a little bit of a clearing right there. And he was saying, oh, if I had a rifle, I could have shot it. And he wanted to deer hunt, but there was no deer hunting allowed. I think that was either in the late 1980s or the early 1990s that it was allowed in the county. I don't know for sure. I'm just kind of going off of memory regarding that. And it was sometime in the early 90s, I believe, after Dad had retired, that he started doing deer hunting. And I believe it was my cousin Don who kind of got him into it. So anyway, he had been hunting, you know, for a few years before I started. And Dad built different deer stands, and they were pallet stands. He had, he would take just a regular shipping pallet, find a branch that he could brace it on, put in some additional supports, and he had several different ladders, some he made himself, to go up into the stands. And so on the 20-acre piece we have here, there were two different deer stands, one that he didn't have a whole lot of success with. There was one that he had a lot of success with. And then he put another one further north on the property along a woods line. And I would hunt there quite a bit. It was a tall tree stand to get up there, and it wasn't the best, but it was good and tall, and it was a beautiful time up there. But the stand that I, you know, that Dad got a lot of deer out of, he called, and we all called, the magic deer stand. And during that time, the ground on the upland, all of it, including this 20 acres that we're on, all the formerly farmed ground was in the Conservation Reserve Program, the CRP. And so it had just grasses growing in it. And you could put in some feed plots and for the deer. And so Dad had a little corn feed plot near this one stand in our west pasture. And it was just the ideal spot, because there was a sloping down to a creek and a small ravine that went into a larger creek on our neighbor's property. And right at the tip of the woods, if you could imagine, as the creek formed, there was a V-shape of woods that came out. And at the very tip was this very tall sycamore tree. And that's where Dad had one of his stands. And, oh, the original stand, it was up there quite a ways, where there was some branches, good strong branches that just worked ideal. And that's where the magic deer stand was. And every year, Dad filled his tags from that deer stand. And I was would hunt in various places. I'd be down the river bottom or I would be on the upland. Back in the 90s, actually it was probably in 2000, 2001, Dad built a portable tower and had it down in the river bottom. And I did get one small deer. It was Bambi's baby sister. It was so tiny, but it was a really long shot. And, but I was down in that stand and I heard, two shots right at daybreak. Dad, he had, we used little like Walmart walkie talkies at that point in time. And sometimes they worked, but sometimes if the woods was too thick, they kind of broke up the signal. But, I called him up on the walkie talkie and said, "Everything okay up there?" And he said, "I think I'm going to need your help. I just filled my tags." It's like, what? And so I went up there, and there, out of his stand, there had come two deer, a buck and a doe, and they came across the upland from the river bottom area, came up to the upland, and they started going down through the field. Dad also mowed a nice path through the tall grass to help them decide where to go, but they would come down to this lower area towards where the creek was starting in the V of trees. And that deer would come down there and sometimes stop because they were down low and they felt safe. And so these two deer came down there. And Dad's not using a high-end, shotgun or anything. It's just an old bolt action that he had had most of his life. And they stopped and they both turned to the side. And Dad couldn't believe it because the deer season had just barely opened. I mean, it's like a half hour before sunrise and it had just started. And so he took aim and he dropped the first one, and the second one kind of got startled a little bit by the sound and his buddy just dropping, and but stood there. So Dad, did the bolt thing. Another shell came in and he dropped the second one. And he said that was always his fantasy, that before coffee break, he'd fill both of his tags. And he filled both of his tags in about 10 seconds. So came up, and that was always a fun story, but that was out of the magic deer stand. Well, the old pallets started rotting and something had to be done. And it was really, you could only have one bucket up there to sit on, and there wasn't any, I don't remember, maybe Dad did have a little bit of a guardrail along the side, so you wouldn't unintentionally fall off if you dozed off. But we decided that one needed to come down, and we were going to get a store-bought one, a two-seater. And so not that he and I were going to be sitting up there together, but my kids, Aaron and Jessica, were getting of the little kid age, preschool age, where they would enjoy, going up and sitting in the stand with Dad or with Grandpa. And so we got one that was a two-seater, and it was a bigger base to sit on, and it had a safety rail that you could flip up and down as need be for getting in and out. And so we sat it up there. And I did a lot of hunting out of that stand, and Dad did also. And then Dad got to the point where he wasn't able to get up into the stands. He didn't trust himself climbing up anymore. So he got himself a little tent and fixed up kind of a tripod, a homemade tripod that he could rest his gun on, because holding it was just getting to be too hard. His shoulders were just not working as they used to work. But I don't remember if he got any deer out of that. You know, the hunting part was always fun, but also, and probably even more fun, was when we would have coffee break. And that wasn't just Dad and I. That was everybody that was hunting in the area. And it changed a little bit. Some people, you know, came out for coffee break quite a bit for some years, and then other years didn't. But some of the ones that would come out to the old farmhouse, and Dad would have coffee and donuts, and different people would bring things. But it would be, you know, my cousins Don and his boy Troy, Jerry and Junior, and Junior's some of Junior's family, daughter and grandson would come out, and of course, you know, Aaron would come out and Dawn would come up. But you know, it was sitting around and just telling the stories of, you know, how things go that morning, but also reminiscing about past years of hunting. And it was neat. And then, you know, Dad would have a big pot of chili that he would that Mom would make and bring up, and Mom would be there sometimes for deer camp. But then, you know, people would come in for lunch, and you know, we would just enjoy the time and enjoy the company. And well, the long story short, Dad's been gone for 10 years now, and Jerry has passed away, and different people hunt on different parts, and the farmhouse is right now cluttered with stuff that is going to get decluttered this winter, and make it look a little bit more like what it did back then. But those were good times. Those were fun times, and really enjoyed it. Well, the reason is not just because deer season starts on Friday, but the old sycamore tree where the magic deer stand is, and it's not magical anymore. The problem is we fenced in the area for our goats, and when we got our dogs 5 years ago, our livestock guardian dogs, they kind of run off the deer. So there hasn't been any hunting out of it for quite a while because the deer don't come anywhere in that area anymore. But the tree, the big old sycamore, has died. A lot of limbs have dropped out of it. It's got rot at the bottom. And so yesterday, my wife and I, in order to save the deer stand, in case that tree or when that tree falls, we took it down. And, you know, it's not something where you regret taking it down because it's going to go up in another location. But it's another sign of, you know, a turning of the page, the end of an era, that the magic stand is now just memories. And so, in honor of Dad, in honor of the fun years and him and I doing a fun hobby together a couple of times a year, just paying a tribute. So, if you are a deer hunter, or if you can relate to what I've been talking about today, well, I raise my cup of coffee. If you're going out hunting this weekend, or if you're one of those crazy archery people and you've already been hunting for over a month, enjoy and have a cup of coffee on me, and I'll be thinking of you sitting up in the deer stand in a few days. All right, everybody. Well, you take care. Have a great one. Bye-bye.